Hey church, how are you? Are you good? Greetings to you from New South Wales. I know. Are you okay with this shirt? Yeah, this sermon is brought to you in Technicolor. It's like pretty cool, hey. So I'm excited for you. Are you excited for you? I'm excited for you because like as what I do and all the churches I get to go to and bless, you know, I'm excited for you. You know, if I was in Fremantle, I'd come here because of what I know God is going to do amongst you. Yeah. You know, who knows that God's future for us is getting brighter and brighter. You know, I know there's a lot of naysayers saying the world is going to get, well, that's nothing new. But you understand that God is doing great things in and through you. Yeah, you know. So I've got a word for you. I'll turn this on. Why don't you go in your Bibles too? Who remembers paper Bibles when you used to say that? You'd hear the rustling of paper. Who remember? You're really old then, you know, if you can remember that. Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. It says this, verse 11. I long to see you that I might impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both you and me. Let me tell you something. I want you to just take home one word, and one word that God is going to establish you. He's going to establish, and it's kind of a twofold thing that I want to share. As individuals, God's going to establish you, and as a church, God is going to establish you. Let me tell you something this. I really want to declare over you. By the end of this year, by the end of like 26, like November, December, Christmas time, that you're going to feel more like yourself than you ever have, both as individuals and as a church. Who would like to feel like comfortable in your own skin? That would be really good, hey? That is really good. You're established. You're established. It says this in 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But may the God of all grace, I love that, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, be perfected, established, strengthened, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. You know, God, you know, is wanting to establish you. You know, your identity, your calling in individual divisions and also as a church, you know. See, when we get established, the Greek word, if you look at it, means sterizo, like strengthen, establish. It's very much like you would plant a tree and get it to establish itself. You know how you plant a tree and it sort of sits there for a little while and all of a sudden the roots go down and they hit water or they hit the sweet spot, and all of a sudden, it all jumps to life. Do you know what I'm saying? In a building, like I have a background in construction, and I was always taught that one third of a building is getting the foundations down in there. Once you've got that done, the rest, it can rain all it likes, and you can just come back the next day and keep going. Establish you. Establish you. In other words, to set fast, to fix firmly, to make resolute. Are you resolute? To support so you cannot collapse. Isn't that powerful? You cannot collapse. It's not an emotional thing. It's actually, if you like, spiritual infrastructure inside both you as individuals and you as a church. Spiritual infrastructure. That's what I kind of feel like to say it. You may still feel pressure, but you're not going to panic. Who would like to do that? Oh, yeah. You may still face opposition, but you're not going to fold. You may still fight fights, but you're not going to lose your footing because you're established. Isn't that good? It says this, he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Psalm 40, verse 2. See, we can be shaken. We go through, you know, all sorts of different things. We like to really celebrate breakthrough, but we don't always celebrate stability. We like the spectacular. But who would just being stable? Just being stable. I know as leading churches, you know what? Our best people are always not the spectacular, not necessarily the gifted, but the established ones. The ones that get to connect group, the ones that just serve, the ones that just give, the ones that nothing, just are established. Established. God does great things with them. You can understand that we like to shout about miracles, but we overlook maturity. I'm just going to drop some things on you, and if that lands on you, amen. You know, who knows? We kind of have a thing in our spirit. There's like a yes inside of us, and there's a uh-uh. There's an uh-huh, and there's a uh-uh. You know what I mean? Well, I pray that you get lots of uh-huh this morning. You get lots of yeah. I get that. That's for me. See, Peter himself was writing this to believers that were, like the church he's writing to, they were persecuted, they were displaced, they were misunderstood, and they really were shaken in their faith. It was kind of what he was. But after, he says, after you suffered a little while, anybody suffered here? That's part of the deal. Do you understand that? That's part of what we go through. But after God is going to establish you. He tells us something very powerful. God doesn't bring us out, but he makes sure that you don't fall apart after he's brought you out. Establish you. You know, establishment always comes after shaking. See, we don't want to go through the suffering, don't want to go through shaking, but that's the process. Old mystics say this in life, like the old church fathers. If you want to read up, there's these guys called the Desert Fathers who would go away for months on end, pray, seek God. And they all would agree with this one pattern in life, that you go along in an order. God, aren't you glad that you got saved? That you let Jesus into your heart? And all of a sudden you get established and God starts. But then all of a sudden something happens, a little bit of shaking, and we go into disorder. Everything that worked doesn't work anymore. Everything that I relied on seems to fall apart. And then God reorders it at another level, reestablishes you. Am I talking to anyone this morning? That's actually what happens, that God establishes us after shaking. So that he allows that whatever, and the Bible says, you know, whatever can be shaken will be shaken. Yet once more, I remove all things that can be shaken, that things which cannot be shaken may remain. Hebrews 12:21. So in other words, he says, I allow what can be shaken to shake. He exposes weak foundations. He removes false supports. And he confronts our coping mechanisms and our idols. He doesn't let us depend on any other thing or be established in any other thing but him. Yeah? See, what survives, I think you had storms last week, didn't you? What survives the storm is what God intends to set in place. Aren't you glad you've been through and God has gotten rid of things that were never going to work anyway? Never going to work everywhere. I've seen relationships break down and everybody's wondering what's going to happen, only to find out that those relationships that people were in were only actually holding them back. People who weren't really for them, weren't really supporting them, but really had nothing to do with God's destiny and purpose for their life. So God shook their life so that those things would snap off. See, if it didn't last, it couldn't hold you. If it broke, it couldn't bear the weight. If it failed, it wasn't a foundational thing in your life. And let me say this. Is that hitting anyone? You know, God wants to establish you. Like, rock solid you in your faith, in your convictions, in your relationships, in your thinking, so that you are rock solid in what God's wanting to do for you. God will establish, let me say this, identity before he establishes assignment. identity, and we talked about that less today. I believe identity is one of the big core issues with humanity. Knowing who you are is a fundamental thing. See, it says this in that. It says, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus? Before God establishes function, he establishes identity. We think that what we do tells us who we are. Who you are will establish what you do. If you think ministry is going to make you, it won't. If you think being married was going to make you, it won't. If you think having money is going to establish you, it won't. If you think having popularity is going to establish you, it won't. If you think having a career will establish you, it won't. You've got to get your identity in Christ nailed down first, and then everything else will start to get established around you. Before he clarifies mission, he settles belonging. Many believers are tired because they are gifted but not connected, not submitted. Many are called but insecure. Many are anointed but not anchored. Many are busy but not actually on their assignment. Many are serving but without sonship. Many are active but not in alignment with the kingdom. I can feel like God's shuffling the cards in front of me, getting people established, getting people resorted out. This year, see, God is establishing you so that you stop striving to be who you're not. You're gonna really know who you are, and you're going to strive. Instead of striving to be a really bad copy of someone else, you're going to be a really awesome original. I don't think this is new, but I think it's profound what God is wanting to do. God is establishing this church in its true context of its mission. Who knows, every church, despite its denomination or its stream or whatever, actually has its own grace, its own lane, its own specific flavor or intent or bias, if you like. Not only is it just only that, do you know that you're actually called to this location, you know? And even with that, you have an assignment within it. Isn't it true that not you on your own C3 Langford are not going to reach this city? But there are people that you are meant to reach. Is that true? Come on. It's going to take all the churches in this city to reach this city. Who knows that? You're not going to get everybody, but you got to get who you're meant to get. Come on. And there are people assigned to you, and you are assigned to them. I know this, you're not necessarily like this. We think a location is it, but actually you are called to people. And there is a certain type of people that you are called to and are called to you. Yeah? You've got to understand that. Not every church do the same thing, but every church is called to do something essential. Essential in that. But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. 1 Corinthians 12:18. The same as we all have different parts, each church has a different part, and each church is then again part of the bigger, larger part of the kingdom of God. Is that true? It's true. But you've actually got to be you. I always like to say this. Whatever flavor your church is, or you as an individual are, you need to really be that flavor. You know? If you're chocolate, be chocolate. Like real chocolate. Strawberry, not some, you know, powdery kind of weak thing. I want someone to put your taste you and really know that you are what you are. It reminds me, I used to take my wife to go and see her oma, a Dutch grandmother who was hilarious. Like, she'd hidden Jews during World War II. She was tough as. She was amazing. And this was what her treat she would give to us. She would give us, who remembers, do they still make it, Ribena? You know, that really syrupy, strong. This is how Oma would make it. She would do half and half. So a half a glass of Ribena, which, you know, I was used to like a little like teaspoon of it. She would do half a glass and then the rest lemonade. You didn't sleep for 3 days after you drank that. You were definitely drinking Ribena. No questions asked, because she just cranked that flavor up. I believe that's what every church should be. Every believer should be definitely tasting. People should be able to taste and see. Not wondering what you're about, not wondering what this church is, not wondering what your sign is, not wondering who you are, but absolutely know who you are, because you know who you are and not ashamed of it. See, God is ending comparison. God is ending imitation. God is ending competition within the kingdom. You're not here to compete with one another, neither as a church to compete with other churches. You're here to complete the kingdom of God. Come on. To do your bit. To do your bit. Do you know? Often I say to pastors and leaders when I meet them, one of the questions I do like to ask is, what's your superpower? Like, what are you bringing to the table? What, not your nice personality or your ability, like your superpower. What do you bring? Like this, what can you do that a Muslim cannot do? What can you do that a Buddhist cannot do? What can you do that a Hindu cannot do? What can you do that a Hare Krishna cannot do? What can you do that a New Ager cannot do? What do you do that someone that has crystals hanging all around them and prays to it? What can you do? Not just be nice, not just be loving. Who knows we're loving? Yeah. That's a taken. But how do you demonstrate who Jesus is? The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Come on. And I believe each and every one of you, each and every one of you, at the very least, carries all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. You've got to know who you are. You've got to accept who you are. And you have to be who you are. Without apologizing. Without hiding. Be that person who is. See, God is, when God settles our identity, unity increases. Isn't that funny? Isn't that interesting that the more you become you, the more you actually fit with people who are like them? Especially when we don't compete and we don't compare, we're not intimidated by one another, we're actually happy to be me. And I'm happy that you are you. And I celebrate who you are, but I'm not going to compete with you, and I'm not going to compare with you. I just want to champion you, that you be you, and you let me be me, and we're going to take the kingdom. Is that true? Not compete? You know, I know there are certain aspects of the kingdom that I'm not called to or not meant to do. And it's actually dumb and stupid if I try to attempt them, but if I know someone that can help you in this area, I'm going to line you up with them. So let me say this, you know. See, when our calling is clear, fruit multiplies. When you know your calling, It's very interesting. I remember an old pastor, he's gone to be with the Lord now, very, very powerful man, a guy called Dave Cartledge, established churches all over the country that are still huge, big, strong churches today. Didn't die when he left. Established Bible College, established all sorts of things all over the world, wrote books. Amazing guy. And he said one of the first assignments after you get saved, establish yourself in his word and in prayer and in a church. But then the very next thing to do, you fast and you pray and you bang your head against the wall until you find out what your calling is. And then for the rest of your life, you fulfill that. Come hell or high water, you do what you know you're supposed to do in the kingdom. Just not float around, I wonder what I'm supposed to do. So many people in the prophetic are like, I want to know my call. Do you know what I mean? But let me tell you something. It's at the very least, it's bring him glory. At the very least. And how do you bring him glory? How do you magnify Jesus in your life? Through that superpower, who you really, really are. And the best thing you can give to your church, to your family, to your community is a free, established you. I was saying yesterday in our discipleship course, the best type of, you know what people really need? People need people who don't need people. That actually don't need, I can actually minister to you when I don't need your approval. When I don't need you to stroke my ego. I don't need you to affirm me. We've seen all the nonsense that's happened in the prophetic guys, you know, digging into social media in order to have really impressive words of knowledge so that they can be, you know, trying to affirm their gifting and all of that sort of stuff. That's where that comes from insecurity and all that, not really sure of what their call is and that not sure whether God's going to always back them up. Who knows that God is always going to back you up? But the mystery of not knowing how that's all going to work is part of the fun. True? God is going to establish you. Have I told you that? He's going to establish you, number one, in your identity. Number two, in your calling. And that I mean that also as a church. I want to really encourage you to get, if you're part here, if you attend here, to really set yourself in here and establish yourself. Find out what your superpower is and start exercising it. Now, this is the thing. No, I'm kind of getting a bit sidetracked, but I don't care. Is that, and I was sharing this yesterday, is that we all think that when I do something, I have to do it perfectly. God just wants you to learn. Religion is performance based. The better you do, you know, but it's not really like that when it's like when we're not comparing one another and we're not measuring each other by each other. When I just allow you to be you and let you learn to be you, like none of us were born walking. Anybody here come out jogging? I think your mum would have something to say about that. But do you know what? And it took you nearly a year to figure out even how to get up on your feet. And when you started to learn and you failed, did your parents like say to, you know, you when you first pulled yourself out on the coffee table, turned around, took one step, went down you went on your fat little backside? Did they go, oh, sorry, darling, I don't think you've got the gift of walking? We don't do that, do you? Do you think God's like that with you and you learning to be you? Because you were learning to be you. Is that true? You've got to learn to be you every day. And guess what's going to happen? You're not going to always get it right. But let me tell you something. The Father always looks at heart. I'm so glad he, and a lot of religious people don't like when I say this, God does not look at behavior. He looks at heart. And he will always speak to your heart, not your behavior. Neither good, your good behavior doesn't impress him. Nor does your bad behavior disappoint him. He knows us. Do you think God is shocked by your bad behavior? Do you think he's impressed by your good behavior? He loves you and he's for you and he wants you to not go on that whole trying to impress thing. He just wants you to be you and enjoy being you and you be established as you. Come on. Yes? Come on. Father, I just pray right now that whatever is wobbly, whatever is weak, whatever is unstable, that Father, that you would start to establish us as a church and as individuals in our calling, in our identity, in our fellowship and as our church, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Man, can I pray for some people? Is that cool? Oh, this is the best part, you know. This couple here, you're a couple? Yeah, she belongs to you? or you belong to her. Oh, very good answer, mate. So your name is, are we recording? Paolo. Oh, wow. You're Italian? Oh, I don't know an Italian. But Charlie's Italian. Do you want to stand up so we can, okay, can see that? Let me tell you something, darling. You have great faith. You English? Little. She's Yeah, that, well, let me say this to you. She has great faith. And there's a great hope coming upon her. In fact, actually, that's what she deals in, hope. You deal in hope for other people. I see that you're like a jug of oil and anointing of hope for people. And to you, there is no hopeless situation, no hopeless people. In Jesus' name. And you, Pablo, are going to... There's something about you that you build and you establish. You build and you establish. But yourself... Are you here to stay? That's so good. You know, not just this church, this nation. Are you here to stay? Yeah, I think so. Let's just establish that, hey? Stay. Because God wants you to stay and establish something and build something great in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, can I go further? It's like this. What do you do for work? Yeah, okay. Something greater than that is going to happen to you. I see trucks and vehicles and all sorts of things being used by you, and you don't have to worry, God. You're in the right place at the right time, and you're always going to have enough no matter what you go for, okay? You're always going to have enough. God's going to make a way, and great favor is upon you already. You got here, and you're not here to fail. You're here to succeed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How's the living? You got somewhere to live? You're living somewhere? Got a house? Oh, for now, hey. Father, I pray that, Lord, that there would be, even now, there's something about a home where you're going to stay. Something, God's going to do something about that. Like better than what you've got now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. This lady here in the den, you're a cook or something, aren't you? Yeah, yeah. Oh, I remember. I think I sometimes get a word of memory, you know. Your word of memory. I'm never going to have Alzheimer's. I've always got my memory. You want to stand up, Donna? Do you have a son? I've got the feeling like you have a son. God's going to do something. How's he doing? He's in prison. He's working on his testimony. He's working on his testimony, hey. Father, I pray that, Lord, that this boy, you get hold of this guy and you just, I can see God just snatching him up. I'll give him a testimony. You know, who knows David? Crossing the switchway, David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson's grandson ended up in prison as an addict and was woken up in his cell, and the Lord came and spoke to him, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues in his cell. I think your son has already had that. He's already stepped into that. Same as this boy. I tell you, the same thing is going to happen to your son in the name of Jesus. He's going to come out of there. You know, now that boy, that grandson, is a pastor in a church, got three kids. He's just working on his testimony, darling. He is figuring out what does not work. Isn't that true? You stay in faith, sister, because you watch this. God is going to establish you like never before. I see you like a statue, like immovable, standing there in faith, believing God, having such huge convictions and love. And you're going to say this love thing is going to overwhelm you for people. Your heart is going to go out towards people. And it's going to not just be an emotional thing, it's going to be actually like the living God. You're going to be like, you're not just, it says that Adam was a living soul, but Jesus was a life-giving spirit. And that's what you're going to move into. A life-giving in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Yogi, let me tell you something, darling. Yeah. Yes, you. Yoko, God is with you amazingly and powerfully. God's going to use your hands to heal people. God is going to use your hands to guide people. It's like God is in your hands. Like many people, God is in their mouth. But with you, God is within your hands in Jesus' name. It's like, and there's, you could ask God for stuff and he's just going to give it to you. Don't worry about him. He's all right. But you wait and see what God does for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Rob, where's your girl, Rob? Greg, where's your girl? Oh, there. Are you fighting this morning? What did you do? You're punishing him? Can you go sit with him for a minute? Well, is that all right? This could be a, just make up, okay? Whatever you need to do. Let me tell you something. It's a new season for you both. It's like, it's a funny thing to use here, but you know how the rainbow was used by God to show Noah that he would never, ever do that again. Whatever you've been through, whatever floods, whatever things that have even, some things have been swept away and some things have been taken from you, you know? And the world was completely different for Noah after all of that suffering, after all that, you know? You suffered for a little while, but now God is going to sustain, and there's going to be this strength within you as he establishes your business and your life and your family for this new season in Jesus' precious name. You're going to find yourself, Greg, all of a sudden writing ideas and writing things down that are going to be strategies and convictions that you'll share with people, and they're going to go, oh my God. I see, like, literally writing a phrase that is literally going to be like a slogan or a conviction that's going to change things all around you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And also, God is lifting shame off you. Shame off you. I don't know, you know, where you felt like, oh, I've just done such the dumbest decision sometimes. Or that's like, God, forget that. Let's just forget about that and go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go over here. Charlie, you're cool. Oh, who's these two sisters here? Who are these? Are you together? You don't know each other. You know. They're friends. Yeah, yeah. But not related. Okay. So how long have you been coming here? Okay, you've repented and you've come back. Okay. Yeah, how dumb was that? You need to be here. Hey, this is a message for you. Stand up, sister. Stand up. Are you married? You was? Let's not go there. But God is going to establish you, darling, in yourself. In yourself, and I feel like, again, you're going to feel more like yourself by the end of this year. You're going to, like, all the grief, all of that's going to go. You're going to come up and help, are you? Do you know what I mean? You're going to do this. And there's, like, new opportunities financially. There's new, and I'm going to pray God's protection over you. God's, because you're being very vulnerable where you are right now, you know? We need to keep, Father, so I pray for my sister that you protect her from, like, the plans of other people and what other people agendas for her, both men and other people, that, Lord, that you would just keep her safe and not needy in Jesus' name. It's like that, you know, you're just going to be full in the name of Jesus. Full of his acceptance, full of his love, full of his goodness. You're not going to even look to people like you did in Jesus' name. Other sister, bless you. And what's your name? Juliet. Wow, is there a Romeo? There is.
He's at the back there.
Where's Romeo? Oh, there's Romeo. Oh, now I get you. I can't sort of see in the lights, okay? Yeah, let me tell you, Juliet. Let me say, Juliet, is this. I see you... Like, it's like you steal flowers. Like, you walk along the road. My wife does this. Like, we walk and she'll just grab flowers, like reach over the fence and grab quick things. She's a terrorist, you know. And so you're doing like that. You see beauty. You have an eye for beauty. Even when others don't value it, even when in people, and I mean that, like people in places where they're not valued, you give them value. You'll pick them up. You'll see the goodness in them. And it's like, I don't know if you've ever smelt the presence of God. I don't know if you've felt that or done that. But I feel like, you know, we have a sense. Very few people have a sense of smell. It says that, see, the temple was filled with incense and aroma. God's going to, I'm just going to believe, that's a really weird word, but God, so we have a sense of, all of our senses that we have in this natural world, we both have spiritually. And it's like you're going to smell, you know, who knows, when you come home, boys, when you come home and your wife's been cooking dinner in the house, it'll be like that. You'll go, oh, wow, God has got something prepared. God's cooking something. And your hunger level's going to go up like unbelievably in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Where were the two young guys? They took off. Anyway, they went to the gym. They gone? Okay. Amen. I can't see. Oh, this young couple, the really handsome one with the moustache. Come on. Tom Selleck is in the house. Hey? Yeah, Magnum PI. Do you have a Ferrari? A Honda? A Subaru. Do you want to stand up? Who's this beside you? Your daughter or something? Oh, your beautiful girlfriend. Okay. Okay, let me tell you something, mate. You know the Lord, hey? You know His goodness. And He's a restorer. And God's going to restore so many things to you like you won't believe. His goodness and His mercy. This is a season of seeing His mercy. Mercy. And so many, like that word that Pastor Stephen was sharing about slapping your enemy so it even breaks their teeth. I was reading this morning how the King Josiah was in a desperate situation and the angel of the Lord came and defeated an entire army overnight. And I feel like there's going to be a shift overnight in your life of victory in Jesus' name. Like your enemy, whatever has been trying to like threaten you or stop you from going forward or stop your supply is going to be stopped so much in its tracks in Jesus' name. Okay. And darling, what's your name? Jamie? Jamie, let me tell you something. I don't know. It's like, you're like good with money. Yeah? Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm all right. But let me tell you something. There's, as you invest, and God's going to show you some things, as you invest, it's going to be pretty amazing, pretty strategic, you know? And you're going to take a little bit and turn it into a lot. A little bit and turn it into a lot. In fact, that's going to be literally the theme of your life. That whatever you pour out, you'll be able to pour it out. And like I see, like that widow who had a little bit of oil and she started to empty it out. And the more she could fill whatever containers were brought to her. And I can see you doing that both in sort of all sorts of realms for people. Let me say this, like not just financially, not just with practical things, but spiritual things as well, like joy and love and hope. You'll be able to pour into people. You'll always have resource in Jesus' name. Amen. This big fella here, man, the Lord is great strength for you. Like you look pretty strong, but you know what? That's what you're actually about. You're great faith. You have great faith. And God wants you to really... off. Oh no, it's back on. That there is, it's David fought 52 battles in his entire life. It was like one battle finished and another one. Another battle finished, he'd start another one. And your life is like, you can understand, man, what's your name? Christian, It's one fight after the other, but that's what God has called you to. So let's do one fight after the other, after the other, after the other. And you're going to be fine. Because every fight, victory. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I think that's enough, hey? If you want any more, we've got to go to Kwinana. Is that where we're going? I can't even see. Where's Stephen gone? He's run off. Oh, he's hiding over there.
Yeah, we got another maybe 25 minutes you can
carry. Oh, really? Do you want to pick someone?
No, just you good. Maybe Zara? Oh, you, yeah.
Oh, come up here. This girl here?
Yes.
What's your name? Zyra. What does Zyra mean? I don't know. Is that what it means? I've got no idea. Someone Google that for me. Blooming flower. Blooming flower. There you go. Who is that? Your dad. Blooming flowers. That's amazing. Let me tell you something. I encourage you all to actually look up the meaning of your name. Like we think, oh, that means nothing. It always means something. You might even think, man, my parents, they named me when they were stoned. Your name will still mean something. I don't think you weren't stoned when you named her, were you? He's not sure. He's not saying. But let me say, darling, you're going to bloom. That's actually the theme of your life. It says this in Psalm 1, that they were fruitful every month. Every month. In season, out of season, darling, you're going to... Let me encourage you. What would you do if you always knew you were going to succeed at it? Ooh, I know. See, I want to encourage you to live much bigger than you are and what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen.
Miss Carla.
Miss Carla.
Carla's over there.
Oh, here. Oh, hey, darling, how are you? Oh, I'm glad he picked you. What do you do for work? You're a veterinarian. Oh, cat lady or... Let me tell you something, darling. It's like what I see is there's... God is establishing your steps. God's establishing your steps. It says Psalm 18. He says, he gives me hind feet, like the feet of the deer. Like to climb, you know how you see those goats on those little, and they can just climb a cliff. You are like that. You make progress where no one can ever make progress. And God's going to cause you to get to places, even in God, that you're going to wonder, how did I get up here? How do I see this? How am I going to experience this? In Jesus' name, amen. And it's like, I see some moving around for you, establishing some different things and being part of different practices, is that what you call them? And helping out people and doing all sorts of things. And I feel like, I don't know if you specialize in anything. You do? Yeah, that's even more powerful, that. And as you do that and help in that, it's good. What do you specialize in?
Surgery.
Oh, surgery. Come on. Well, keep, like, God is really in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And I feel, I want to say this, your joy level is going to go through the roof. Hopefully you don't get the giggles during surgery. But you're going to find yourself like just excited and just like, and you won't even know why. You're just going to go, man, God is just so good. So good. In Jesus' name.
Bring Miss Olivia.
Who?
Miss Olivia.
Olivia?
Yeah.
Olivia? Who's Olivia? Oh, over there. Oh, come on. Olivia, who's this big handsome man beside you? It's your dad. Your father-in-law. You're married to his dad. I can't hear her. Oh, my gosh.
It's her sister's father-in-law.
My sister's father-in-law. Oh, my gosh. Well, it feels like we're in Tasmania. I feel like, I don't know if you heard this old song. We used to sing it in Sunday school, wide, wide. Yeah, deep, deep as the sea. So is his love for me. Deep, deep, wide as the ocean is his love for me. That's what he's doing. And it's like, you will never, and he really wants you to go, there's so much love for you, so much compassion for you, so much care for you. And the Lord's going to really, not just an internal thing, it's actually going to start to manifest in and around your world. God's going to show you all the love that you know that he has. He's going to show you the love that you have inside of you. It's going to be more actually manifest around the outside of you in life and in things and relationships in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Are you married? Do you want to be? You don't know? Because I could probably hook you up if you want. Okay, that's cool. But it's not a big deal. No. Well, I feel like God's going to do something. You just got to be open to it. Okay? Just be open to it. There are good guys. You know? So, Father, I just pray for my sister that, Lord, I just pray for an open heart and an open heaven around her in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Pastor. Oh, you can't stay. You're standing in the dark. I can't see you.
Yeah, so that the focus remains on what you're doing. I think Claire and David.
Claire? Yeah, you've moved. And Daniel's?
David.
David is here. Oh, that's right. Very good. This isn't David, let me tell you something. It's like the technicality things. What do you do for work? Better to idea. Yeah, that's a really, let me tell you something. Something's going to happen around that. Like a new door is coming. A new door is coming. And it's okay to go through that in Jesus' name, okay? Feel like it might not even be working for yourself, but it'd be like almost like that. Like contracting, or they're going to give you lots of freedom within that. And it's going to be better for you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Claire, it's like this. I see you just... painting people, like painting people, and then it's really weird. The more I look at that, it's like it's actually not paint that you're painting with. It's actually stripper. It's actually you paint them. You paint. They think, oh, this is what's going to happen. You're gonna. It's like you're not giving them actually another coating to cover up something. It's actually then you grab it and you peel it. It's like it enables you to then reveal who they really are. It's like this sneaky thing. And God's going to show you who people really are. And you're going to name them. And you're going to see God do great and awesome things. This is your daughter, hey. And you sing. Yes, you sing. Let me say that there's going to be some prophetic things that God is going to open you up to, darling, okay? And having words for people, songs over people. And it's kind of going to be like a song. It's almost going to be like this rhythm within you, or this tune or melody. That's the word. The melody within you that's of God. And he's going to really tune you to like have the song of the Lord inside you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Miss Lorraine.
Lorraine. Oh, Lorraine. Oh, the lady on the door. Who's this strapping man beside you? Who's that? No. You don't know who that is.
They're not related.
They're not related. They're not nothing. Okay. Oh, cool. I just wondered, you know. So Lorraine, let me tell you something. Is that God is establishing your steps. Your steps. Steps of a good Lorraine are ordered by the Lord. They're ordered by the Lord. And you are right where you should be. You're making the steps that you should take. And you're going forward. Okay? You're going forward. Okay? You might think, oh, I'm not doing much. No. Unbeknownst, it's like God orders our steps. Every day, Lorraine, is a divine thing for you. Every person you meet is a divine encounter. Every word you say is a divine thing. Okay? And you're always on God's assignment. You're not out of His assignment. God's, see, let me say this, Lorraine, that it's like when we're kids, you've got kids? Got one. Is that, you know, when they're good, we don't talk to them. We just let them play. We let them do their thing. But when they step out onto the road, we yell at them. Is that true?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So often we think we're not hearing from God. That's because we're right where we should be. Cool? Amen.
It's Renska. Renska.
Frenska?
Renska. She'll stand. You can stand, Miss Renska.
Oh, over here. Oh, yeah, I see you. It's like this. There's an, like, you're a shining light. There's some sort of evangelism thing that God is asking you to step into. There's like someone around you that you've been praying for or believing for. You know, but that's going to happen. That's going to happen in Jesus' name. And also, and that's going to be like, you're going to lead this person to the Lord, and there's going to be all sorts of relationships. It's like, I feel like you've got to peel the bottom of a bag open, and all these people are going to drop into the kingdom because of what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.
We'll just have Bert and Harriet.
Bert and Harriet. Bert's on his knees cleaning up. The same, Bert, is that you are right. Timing is your thing. Timing is your thing. It's funny why you like watches. Isn't that funny? Because timing is your thing. Who knows that timing is a big deal? Like time to cook a cake, time to have a baby. Like all those things is timing. A song, comedy, all needs good timing. And you have a good timing. Okay, you're gonna know, both you and Harriet, when to move, when not to move. You know, and you're gonna know the rhythms and the seasons of your life. Even if you look back now, you'll see the rhythm and the timing and the seasons of your life. It's just gonna go forward in the same pattern in Jesus' name. So the same as you moved, the same as you got houses, it's gonna be the same thing, the same thing. The same thing in Jesus' name. You know, and if you actually, it's an interesting word for that, because you all need to know your timing. Some of you have a season of 3 years. Who knows, like even for years, I don't know if it still works, but like real estate investing had like a 7-year cycle. El Nino has a 7-year cycle. Some people have a 9-year cycle. Some people have a 4-year cycle. Is that true? And if you know that, you can prepare. Is that true? Who knows? Our year has 4 cycles within it. And it's dumb to plant or do things in your garden if you ignore that timing. True?
Yeah.
Come on. That's a word for you all. Good on you. Amen. Suresh, oh. Let me tell you something, Suresh. I want to say this to you. And we were talking last night. You know what? You have a call. You have a call, and you don't have to worry a thing about it. Isn't that good? Isn't it things that when God wants to get something to us, He'll get it to us? And it's like, there's this, I believe God's going to give you a new peace and a new confidence in your calling and in your identity in Jesus' name. All, it's like striving and it's going to drop off you because you're going to know true sonship. That's what God's going to bring to you. Sonship in Jesus' name, you know. And when you know that, when you really know who you are like that, it's like my son and my daughter-in-law live in a part of the, like the other end of our house. And so when we ever want to drop, sometimes the mail gets mixed up and I go around, I knock on the door and hand it to them. But for them, they just walk into our house. You know, I can be working in my study and then one of them will go past, oh, I was just going down to grab something from the laundry. Oh, okay. Or just grabbing milk. you know, or, you know, because they're sons. They don't knock. I'm a father, I have to knock. It's interesting, isn't it? You don't have to knock. You have all access in Jesus' name.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that's exactly good. No, she don't know.
We'll get her later.
Hey, why don't we just stand to our feet?
Yeah, morning? Amen. Bless you guys.
Father, may we recognize, Lord God, our identity in you. May we be so good at being ourselves. May we have freedom in our lives, Lord, to be everything that you have purposed for us. And it starts, Lord, by accepting who we are in you. And it's accepting what you say who we are, by accepting who Jesus says that we are, that our identity is found in you. May we be like the prodigal son who says, if only I go back to my father's house. And may we find rest in our father's house. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for every one of your people this morning, that you love them and that you care for them, that we are sons and we are daughters. Lord, that we've all been specially and uniquely made, that we do not need to compare ourselves with anybody else, but we can be who you say we are. May we accept who you say we are. Your word says that if God be for you, who dare be against you? So, Father, you are for us, and we accept who you say we are. This morning, as we finish this morning, before I invite Claire up, I'm just going to pray. It's a prayer of invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. You've never made that decision to say, hey, I would like to follow the Lord. I would like to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, for him to be the Lord of my life, to be my Savior and the Lord of my life. I invite you to repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins and follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. If that is you for the first time saying, hey, I want to follow the Lord, I just want you to raise your hand so I can see. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for my brothers, Lord God, that have put their hands up. Hey, if you've put your hands up, someone is going to come and give you something and chat with you about the decision that you've made.